الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فعن المعرور رحمه الله تعالى قال: لقيت أبا ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه بالربذة وعليه حلة وعلى غلامه حلة، فسألته عن ذلك فقال: إني سببت رجلا فعيرته بأمه، فقال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا أبا ذر، أعيرته بأمه؟ إنك امرؤ فيك جاهلية، إخوانكم خولكم، جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم، فمن كان أخوه تحت يده فليطعمه مما يأكل وليلبسه مما يلبس، ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم، فإن كلفتموهم فأعينوهم، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. معرور ابن سويد الأسدي الكوفي رحمه الله تعالى says: I met Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the eminent sahabi companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in Ar-Rabadha, a small locality near Medina Munawwara. وعليه حلة وعلى غلامه حلة. And on him was a suit, and on his slave was a suit. Abu Dharr Ghifari رضي الله تعالى عنه was wearing a suit, and his slave was also wearing a suit. And a suit in those days was made up of a sheet covering the lower part of the body and a sheet covering the top part of the body. So a suit consisted of two sheets, one covering the lower part of the body, one covering the top part of the body. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu was wearing a suit, and his slave was wearing a similar suit. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu was wearing a suit consisting of one expensive sheet and one cheap sheet, or one new sheet and one old sheet. And his slave was wearing a similar suit, a suit consisting of an expensive sheet, a cheap sheet, or a new sheet and an old sheet. فسألته عن ذلك according to the custom of the time. Marur ibn Suwayd al-Asadi al-Kufi rahimahullah ta'ala says that I found it strange that the master and the slave both are wearing same clothes. So I asked Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu anhu regarding this equality. And according to another narration, he said that I said to him that why don't you take the expensive sheet from him or the new sheet from him and give him your cheap one or old one. So you will have a suit, he will have a suit, but you will have a better suit. Because it will consist of expensive sheets, new sheets. And he will also have a suit consisting of old sheets, cheap sheets. So I questioned him regarding this equality. Why are you treating your slave 100% equal to yourself? So Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I will narrate to you a story, an incident that took place during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that incident you will be able to understand why I am treating him with complete equality. He said, Inni sababtu rajulan fa'ayyartuhu bi ummihi. I had an argument with a person. Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And in that argument, I insulted him. He said something, I said something, he said something, I said something. And it became a heated argument. And I crossed the limit. And I insulted him by taunting him regarding his mother. And I said to him, Yabna Sauda, O the son of the black woman. So I taunted him. I humiliated him. I disgraced him. I made him feel ashamed. Because in those days, to call somebody black or the son of a black woman was an insult. Bilal radiyallahu anhu did not feel inferior because of his color. He did not feel inferior because his mother was black. Because Bilal radiyallahu anhu acknowledged and recognized that Allah is my creator. And there can be no fault in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he did not feel inferior because of his color. But in those times, if a person said, oh black man, or the son of the black woman, that meant he is insulting you. This is what hurt him. That I have been insulted. I have been looked down upon. I have been humiliated in front of so many people. Why did Abu Zar have to say, oh the son of the black woman? So he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And a person complains for two reasons. One is for solace. And the second reason is for the islah and for the rectification of the person who has made a mistake. A noble person will complain with two intentions only. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sent somebody for Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu came, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A'ayyartahu bi ummihi? Did you humiliate Bilal by saying, Yabna Sauda, O the son of the black woman? Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala said yes. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Innaka imru'un fika jahiliyyatun. You are a person in whom there is a characteristic of the characteristics of jahiliyyah. During the period of ignorance, people had so many evil traits, evil characteristics. These evil traits and evil characteristics are known as the characteristics of jahiliyyah. Characteristics of the time of ignorance, the period of ignorance before Islam. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me. I am the Nabi, the final Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed through me good traits. So even after entering the fold of Islam, during the period of Islam, I see in you a characteristic of from the characteristics of jahiliyyah. مَا حَسِبْتُ أَنَّهُ بَقِيَ فِي صَدْرِكَ شَيْءٌ مِّن كِبْرِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. I did not think, O Abu Dharr, that there remains in your heart anything, even a small particle, from the pride and the arrogance of the period of jahiliyyah. You are a person in whom there is a characteristic of jahiliyyah. And from amongst the characteristics of jahiliyyah, one was pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance leads a person to look down upon other individuals of the community. He is lower than me because I am more handsome than he is. He is lower than me because my color is better. He is inferior because he belongs to this nationality. He is inferior because he belongs to this family. He is inferior because he is not an alim and I am an alim, so I am superior. He is inferior because he is musalli and I am superior because I am the imam. Looking down upon people with contempt. Kibra and arrogance leads a person to look down upon other people. It prevents a person from respecting other people. It prevents a person from looking at the good sides of other people. And arrogance and pride also leads a person to reject haq and truth. Reject haq and truth in regard to deen and also dunya. Because when a person says something and another person says something which is opposite to what he has said, contradictory to what he has said, and what this person is saying is better than what I had said. I realize that. But if I accept what he is saying, then my arrogance and my pride tells me that he will be seen as a person who is more clever than I am. And I can't accept that. So I have to reject it. Despite knowing that he is correct. Despite knowing that his opinion is better, I have to reject it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-kibra. What is kibra? What is pride? What is arrogance? Batarul haq, to reject the truth. To turn your face away from the truth. Waghamtun nas, and look down upon people.
look down upon people. Innaka imrun fika jahiliyatun. You are a person in whom is a characteristic of jahiliyyah. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ikhwanukum khawalukum. Now he is talking to all the sahaba, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Ikhwanukum khawalukum. Your brothers are your slaves. Your brothers are your slaves. Ikhwanukum khawalukum. Your brothers are your slaves. Your brothers are your servants. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually desired to say was, your servants are your brothers. Your slaves are your brothers. This is what he desires to say. Your brothers are your servants? No. Your brothers are your slaves. He is desiring to say, your servants are your brothers. Your slaves are your brothers. Ikhwanukum khawalukum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desires to say, khawalukum ikhwanukum. Not ikhwanukum khawalukum. It should be the other way around. Khawalukum ikhwanukum. Not ikhwanukum khawalukum. My brother is Zaid. Zaid is my brother. It has the same meaning. In the Arabic language, sometime you flip the two words the other way to imply something. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of saying khawalukum ikhwanukum, said ikhwanukum khawalukum. The meaning remains the same. Your servants and your slaves are your brothers. But he did not say your servants and your slaves are your brothers. He used ikhwan first, ikhwan. What is he trying to imply? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to imply that the permanent and the original relationship between two humans is brotherhood. One is a father and the other is a son. That is coincidental. One is an imam and the other is musalli. It is coincidental. One happens to be the doctor and the other patient. That is coincidental. It's possible that the child who is the patient today may in the future become the patient, rather a surgeon, and the person who is the doctor today may be sitting in front of him and taking consultation from him. So this relationship that he is the patient and he is the doctor, it is coincidental, it is temporary, it could change any time. One is a servant and the other is the boss. It could change. It could change after weeks, after months, after years. It could change overnight. We have seen so many powerful leaders falling overnight in the past decade or so. These relationships that we see, slave, master, employer, employee, doctor, patient, teacher, student. These are coincidental and temporary. They can change. But there is one relationship that two human beings enjoy. Every two human beings enjoy. That is permanent from birth till death. And that is brotherhood. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to point this aspect out to Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, to all the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, and to all the people to come until the day of Qiyamah, that the permanent and everlasting bond that exists between two humans, whether they are Muslims, whether they are non-Muslims, whether one is a Muslim, the other is a non-Muslim, whether one is a slave and one is free, one is in jail and the other is the jailer, one is the convict, the other is the police, one is the teacher, the other is the student, whatever the relationship may be, that is all coincidental and temporary. The permanent and the everlasting relationship that two humans enjoy is brotherhood. They are brothers. Brothers or brother and sister. Brother and brother or brother and sister. So you have a British person who is the whitest of the white. And you have an African person who is the blackest of the black. One is rich, the other is poor. One is master, the other is slave. They are still brothers. So when dealing with any human, whether he is superior to you or whether he is inferior to you, always remember that he is your brother. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching. Look at the beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is not talking about Muslims only. Ikhwanukum khawalukum. Your servants, your slaves, all those subordinate to you, remember always they are your brothers. And they are subordinate to you, they are under your control, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that way. Ja'alahumullahu tahta aydikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them under your control. The Allah who has placed them under your control can put you under their control also. This is not something that will remain forever. The Allah who has put them under your control can put you under their control or somebody else's control. So each person should remember, فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ. That person under whose control is his brother. That person under whose control is his servant? No, his brother. That servant is your brother. That person under whose control is his slave? No, that slave is your brother. The person under whose control is his brother, he should feed him from that which he eats. So the master or the superior should feed the slave, the servant, or the inferior from that which he eats. He should feed him from that which he eats. وَلْيُلْبِسْهُ مِمَّا يَلْبَسُ. And he should clothe him from that which he wears. وَلَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ. And do not burden them. Do not burden them with work that will overpower them. Do not make them responsible for work which they will not be able to carry out. فَإِنْ كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ. And if you burden them, if you make them responsible for work that is beyond their ability and capacity, then give them a helping hand. فَأَيْنُوهُمْ. Then help them, because they are your brothers. If he is only able to lift 10 kilos, then don't tell him to lift 15 kilos. And if you do, then because he is your brother, despite being your slave, despite being your employee, despite being your khadim, despite being your son, despite being your young brother, Because he is your brother. He is your human brother. If he can only pick up 10 kilos, then ask him to pick up only 10 kilos. And if you ask him to pick up 15 kilos, then take the other 5 yourself and help him. Or find another person who will help him. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu said, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. After the incident, he told all of us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are your brothers. And this message that your slaves are your brothers, your servants are your brothers, your khuddam are your brothers, your subordinates are your brothers, those inferior to you are your brothers, is embedded in my heart and mind. So whenever I look at my slaves or my servants, I always see them as my brothers. So by name they are my slaves, by name they are my servants, but in reality I treat them equally. And this is why you see both of us wearing the same clothes. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person under whose control is his brother, that person should feed him from what he eats and he should clothe him from what he wears. There is a great lesson for us, my friends, in this hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the action of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. Let me explain to you a very important point. One is musawat and the other is muwasat. Musawat is equality. Musawat, equality. Two people equal in everything. And muwasat is two people are not equal, but the one who is superior has feeling for the inferior. So he treats him kindly. One is musawat, the other is muwasat. Islam orders us muwasat, not musawat. Islam says that you treat those inferior to you with muwasat, with kindness, with feeling. With feeling for them. Islam does not say that you treat them with equality. Because if Islam instructed us to treat all our subordinates with equality, then Islam would not have been fair to us. It would have become very difficult for us to treat all our workers, all our subordinates, all our slaves, all our khadims, all under our care, exactly the same way we treat ourselves. It would not have been possible. So Islam does not say you treat each servant of yours, each employee of yours, each slave of yours equal to yourself. No, Islam says, be kind to them. Muwasat, have feeling for them. Hamdardi, have feeling for them. Be kind to them. Be good to them. Look to their well-being. So muwasat is wajib. Being kind to them, looking after them is wajib. It is incumbent. And musawat, being so kind that you bring them to your level and treat them equally in clothing, in food, in accommodation, in furniture, in everything. Every single thing, you treat them equally. That is afdal, that is more virtuous. Although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith did not instruct the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain to treat their subordinates equally, equal to them, Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu anhu was the Zahid of the Ummah. So after this instruction from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, throughout his life he always treated all his subordinates equal to himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, فَلْيُتْئِمْهُ مَا يَأْكُلْ, that one should feed his subordinates whatever he eats. No, one should feed his subordinates from that which he eats. So if he is eating three dishes, then he can share one dish with them. That is sufficient, because he is being kind to them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, وَلْيُلْبِسْهُ مَا يَلْبَسْ, he should clothe them with the same clothes that he is wearing. No. He can wear expensive clothing, but as long as he is kind, he is caring, and he makes sure that this is summer, this is winter, and he clothes his subordinates with clothes that are sufficient for the season, for the weather, for the type of work that he is doing, this is sufficient. So although musawat, treating them equal to yourself in clothing, in food, is not necessary in Islam, only muwasat is necessary. And who treats their subordinates with musawat? Nobody does. Muslims, non-Muslims throughout the world, nobody does. This is one example. Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, who used to treat his slaves, his subordinates, those under him, with complete equality. So what he used to wear, he used to make them wear. What he used to eat, he used to make them eat. His accommodation, their accommodation used to be the same. His furniture, their furniture used to be the same. His utensils, their utensils used to be the same. We need to learn a lesson from this, my friends. This is not only in regards to slaves. Slaves, employees, our khuddam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says that a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, how many times should I forgive my khadim in 24 hours? If he makes one mistake, I forgive him. If he makes a second mistake, I forgive him. If he makes a third mistake, I forgive him. Then he makes a fourth mistake, I forgive him. He makes a fifth mistake. For how long should I forgive him? When do you say that I shouldn't forgive him and I should reprimand him? I should punish him. I should tell him off. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, forgive him 70 times in 24 hours. Now a khadim does not make 70 mistakes in 24 hours. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that forgive him all the time. Forgive him all the time. Our deen is full of kindness. It teaches kindness. It teaches compassion. It teaches mercy. The books of ahadith are full of instructions of mercy, of compassion, of love, of kindness. So let us, my friends, my sisters, make a firm resolution that inshallah we will treat everyone with mercy, with compassion, with kindness. We will entertain good feelings for our Muslim brothers and sisters and for our human brothers and sisters. We will live with everybody in peace and harmony. Because this is what Islam teaches. This is what our deen teaches. And let us not look down upon anybody. Let us not dirty our hearts, our inner self, with pride and with arrogance. And if we are suffering from such illnesses, let us look for remedies. And let us try to purify our inner self. Let us adorn. Let us adorn our inner self. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam's seerah, we find musawat in his life also. Musawat. Umar radiyallahu anhu, musawat. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, musawat. They would treat other people equally, just like themselves. When Umar radiyallahu anhu traveled from Madina Munawwara to Baytul Maqdis for the very first time after the liberation of Baytul Maqdis, he was traveling with his slave and they were sharing the same camel. This was the zuhd. Two people traveling from Madina Munawwara to Baytul Maqdis and they are sharing one camel. And who is traveling? Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiyallahu anhu said, we will share this camel. So like we have kilometers and miles, in those days they had manzil. I will ride the camel for one manzil, you will walk. And thereafter you will ride the camel for one manzil and I will walk. Not a servant, slave. Not servant, slave. Equal treatment. Umar radiyallahu anhu is sitting on the camel and the slave is walking. After one manzil, slave is on the camel and Umar radiyallahu anhu is guiding the camel. He is holding the reins of the camel and he is walking. It so happened that they reached the final manzil. And in the final manzil, it was Umar's turn to walk and it was the slave's turn to ride the camel. So the slave said, it does not befit me that you walk and I ride. Because now we are entering Baytul Maqdis. Soon people will see us. Muslims, non-Muslim, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu is waiting to welcome them. They will all see us. It does not befit me. So please you ride. Jazakallah for all the kindness you showed me throughout the way, but please you ride. Umar radiyallahu anhu said, no, equality is equality. It is my turn to walk, your turn to ride. And Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu is holding the reins of the camel and he is walking. When they reached Baytul Maqdis, the ulama of Ahli Kitab, they began looking in their books at the signs of the Amirul Mu'mineen who will come into Baytul Maqdis. And they were looking at the slave riding on the camel and they were reading their books and they were saying to each other that no, this is not Amirul Mu'mineen. This Islam is not the true religion. Because the Amirul Mu'mineen that will enter Baytul Maqdis after liberation, his attributes and his physical features that are written in our books does not match this person. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala said, don't match what is written in your book with the one who is riding. Match it with the one who is walking because he is Amirul Mu'mineen. He said, Allahu Akbar, this is Amirul Mu'mineen? Amirul Mu'mineen? He is walking and the slave is riding? Umar radiyallahu anhu entered Baytul Maqdis whilst the slave is riding the camel and he is holding the reins of the camel and his shirt was torn. His shirt was torn because it was a long journey. His shirt, his jubba, his kameez, it was torn from one or two places. So he instructed somebody to find a tailor who could mend it for him. This tailor He came back with the repaired kameez and also with a new kameez. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, "O Amirul Mu'minin, leave the old one, take this new one now and put this new one on. It will look better on you." So what did Umar radiyallahu anhu said? He said, "Kafa bil iman zinatan." He said, "For adornment, iman is enough. Iman is enough to adorn me. These things are not important. Musawat, equality." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is traveling towards Badr. 313 companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain. Shortage of animals. So Ali radiyallahu anhu, Abu Lubaba radiyallahu anhu, they say that one camel came between three sahaba. So Abu Lubaba and Ali, they were very fit in those days. Ali radiyallahu anhu and Abu Lubaba radiyallahu anhu, they said, "O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Badr is not far from Madina Munawwara. It's only a few kilometers. And for us, it's not big deal walking from here to Badr. So we give you our turn. So from here to Badr, you ride the camel, the two of us will walk." What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma antuma biyaqwa minni." The two of you are not more stronger than me. The two of you are not more stronger than me. I am a human, you are also humans. We are same, we get tired. All of us experience fatigue and tiredness. And all of us deserve rest. So both of you are not anything extraordinary as far as strength is concerned. So the two of you are not more stronger than me. And I am not more independent of the ajr of sawab than the two of you. I am also in need of the ajr of the hereafter, the reward of the hereafter, just as you are. So you are not stronger than me. I am in need of the thawab of the hereafter. So let us all share the camel. And let us all share our turn of walking as well. And this is what he exactly did. Ali radiallahu anhu is riding the camel. Abu Lubaba and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are walking. Abu Lubaba is riding the camel. Ali radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are walking. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is riding the camel. The other two are walking. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a newcomer used to come to Madina Munawwara, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat with his companions, he did not have anything special on his head that they would immediately recognize it, that, "Oh, this is the Nabi." His clothing was not extraordinary from the other people. Same clothing, and he did not have a special place to sit on. So when a newcomer used to come to Madina Munawwara and he would enter the gathering where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, he would say, "Ayyukum Muhammad? Whom from amongst you is Muhammad?" So much equality. Whom from amongst you is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was later that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever a new person comes, he finds it difficult to recognize you, to find you. If you give us permission, then we will make a high place for you where you sit, so any newcomer is able to recognize you straight away." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted this proposal of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and a high place was built for him, constructed for him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit on the high place, and the Sahaba would sit on his right and his left. This is how simple he was. Aisha radiallahu anha says that when he used to enter my house, he was a normal human being. Normal human being. He would assist me in my household work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this humbleness, this humility, save us from pride and arrogance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this feeling for our Muslim brothers, Muslim sisters, this feeling of for our human brothers and human sisters. And may Allah grant us all the tawfiq to display these beautiful teachings of Islam practically in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Muslims and non-Muslims both the ability to study Islam properly and to appreciate the beautiful teachings of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi. سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم بارك لنا فيما أعطيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا اللهم بارك لهم فيما رزقتهم واغفر لهم وارحمهم اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عن من سواك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين